Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
What's happening? Welcome to the latest Locked On Wolves podcast. My name is Zachary Bennett, host, producer of the program, here inside the Cumulus Studios, located in Dinkytown, Minneapolis. By myself today, no guests, callers, anything like that. Stuck with me. You can find me on Twitter at ZacharyBD. Before we get into the Wolves' loss, their third consecutive loss of the season, coming last night in Brooklyn to the Brooklyn Nets, 119-110. Be sure to check out all of the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. This is just a general shout out to the network, the podcasts. Of the day on the network is the Locked On Hawks podcast, where Brad Rowan talks to Chris Manning about the Hawks' victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So be sure to check that out when you're done with this one, if you have any interest in that. Like I said before, the Wolves lose a tightly contested game last night to Brooklyn in Brooklyn, 119-110. Very competitive game throughout. No lackluster third quarter performance from the Timberwolves in last night's contest, although they were outscored during the third frame, 22-19. Andrew Wiggins finishes with a career-high 36 points, 13 of 29 shooting, made 6 of 7 of his attempts from three-point range, although, despite that, he did miss two potentially clutch free throws down the stretch. With a couple minutes to go, we'll get into the fourth quarter in more detail in a second. He also went 2 of 14 from on shots attempted within the restricted area, which is alarming for sure. Over at coldomaha.com, I wrote a brief recap of the game, citing some comparisons as far as where Wiggins ranks, or not ranks, but how Wiggins compares to the likes of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. In terms of finishing at the rim, Jabari Parker is included in that list as well. So far this season, Andrew Wiggins has made 41.7% of his shots attempted within the restricted area. He's 15 of 36. And by comparison, Jabari Parker is 33 of 50, 66%. Paul George is 18 of 28, 64%. And Kawhi Leonard is 15 of 23 on qualifying attempts. So that's 65.2% for Kawhi Leonard. So all of those players... similar in that they're wing players. Obviously, Wiggins has a long way to go before he catches up to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, but Jabari Parker obviously selected one behind Andrew Wiggins, and although Parker has dealt with some injuries, is a total liability defensively for the Milwaukee Bucks. They are similar, and not only in that they play the same position, but they are similar in age as well. But for Wiggins to be shooting as low of a mark as he is so far this season from within the restricted area, especially in last night's game when he went 2 of 14, it is somewhat concerning. Some solace can be taken in knowing that Wiggins made 64% of his shots within the restricted area last season, 288 of 450. So perhaps it's just a matter of time before he starts to finish around the rim more effectively. All of that being said, it's definitely encouraging to see that Andrew Wiggins, somebody who's been working on his three-point shot throughout the summer and throughout the season, although it hasn't been, the Wolves are 1-5. We're not talking about a huge sample here. But Wiggins is shooting just over 66% on shots from behind the three-point line. He's made 12 of 18 from three-point range so far this season. It's good to see him improving in that area if you're a Wolves fan, because it's often spoken, talked, and written about that it's an area where he needs to improve. Last season, Wiggins shot just over 30% from behind the three-point line, and that's just unacceptable for somebody as talented as he is. So a bittersweet performance from Wiggins in that regard. You know, does really well in one area, does poorly in another. The Wolves were, as a team, very good offensively. Spearheaded by Wiggins' performance, they were 12 of 28 from the three-point line. They shot just over 42% from the field. They made 20 of 28 from the free throw line. Won the turnover battle in that they committed 17 turnovers, which Brooklyn turned into 15 points. On the other side of the coin, the Nets turned it over 21 times. The Wolves turned those turnovers into 27 points. So a plus 12 points off turnover advantage for the Wolves in this one. But as Tom Thibodeau is about to tell you, the Wolves didn't play well enough defensively to ultimately get the job done.
I wish that I could say 110 points is more than enough to win. And so unless we correct the defensive end, it's going to be a struggle. So that has to become a priority by everyone. Otherwise, nothing positive is going to happen.
Defense far more.
So, yeah, there you have it. Tom Thibodeau not happy with the Wolves' defense. The fourth quarter was a very entertaining quarter, and although the Wolves were on the losing side of an exciting game, it was, you know, fun to see the Wolves playing a competitive game. I think that's always the case. Let's just review some of the notes that I took. Beginning at the nine-minute mark, Towns picked up his fifth foul, falling for a pump fake from Luis Scola. He goes up in the air. He's vertical, in my opinion, and from watching the film more than a few times, I think I feel comfortable saying that. But what happened was Scola, he performed a pump fake. Towns went up in the air, and then as Towns came down, you know, this was made famous by Paul Pierce, Scola made an attempt to take a shot, although I don't think he went very strongly into Towns. He almost fell, you know, whether he bounced off Towns or he was moving backwards and Towns fell into him is tough to determine. But you can tell that Scola had no intention of actually trying to make the basket. His movement was strictly to draw a foul on Towns, and he ended up, you know, he ended up going to the line and sinking two free throws shortly thereafter. Towns had to come out of the game. Earlier in the third quarter, Towns picked up an offensive foul that was a tough call for the official, I'm sure, but Towns did enough while driving down the lane, using his left arm to fend off the defender. I think he moved it in a way that was obvious, and when you do that as an offensive player, you put yourself in position to pick up a foul call. Referees are going to see that, and that's ultimately what happened. But anyway, back to the fourth quarter. Towns comes out of the game after committing that foul on Scola, and Wiggins goes in, at which point the Wolves have on the floor Tyus Jones, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, Shabazz Muhammad, and Gorgui Dieng. Now, that strategy playing Shabazz Muhammad at the four worked to a certain extent. It also didn't work to a different extent. But the aforementioned Tyus Jones, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, Shabazz Muhammad, Gorgui Dieng lineup, they outscored the Nets in the fourth quarter, 11-6. Eventually, you have to put Towns back in the game. He's arguably your best player on the roster. Dieng really struggled to defend the three-point line in this quarter. Brooklyn had Brook Lopez and former Timberwolf Justin Hamilton out there with Bojan Bogdanovic. And more often than not, especially in the fourth quarter, Dieng found himself matched up against Justin Hamilton. Now, Justin Hamilton, not a freak athlete, is a smart player, former D-League player of the year, can hit the three ball. He ends up shooting 3 of 4 from behind the three-point line in this game. And I think he was able to do that because Dieng was matched up against him. So Dieng, while trying to guard Justin Hamilton in pick-and-pop situations, and Brooklyn even ran a flare screen or two for Justin Hamilton during the game to get him open. Dieng, for all of his for all of his merits as a defensive player and all of the qualities that he does bring you, is just not quick laterally, you know, he does not possess the lateral quickness or the maneuverability to get around screens and defend a pick and pop player at the perimeter. So he was late recovering to the 3-point line, and Justin Hamilton, he had open shots, and to his credit, he knocked him down. So it was those type of plays that I think, in my opinion, provoked Thibodeau into taking Zhang off the floor. You know, that was part of it. Obviously, Towns needs to be in the game. There's no question about that. But I think in an ideal world, Thibodeau would like to have Zhang and Towns on the floor together at the same time, but that was not the case last night. Where that decision to play Shabazz Muhammad down the stretch ended up coming back to bite them was when there was one possession where Rondae Hollis-Jefferson uses a screen and roll to get the switch. Shabazz Muhammad was supposed to jump out on the perimeter and switch onto the ball handler, but Shabazz neglected to do that. He's stuck in no man's land within the perimeter, and Jefferson drives right by him on his way to the basket and gets 2 points. At that point, with 4 minutes left in the game, was a very critical basket. And he did that a couple minutes before, too. And that all begs, you know, all of this begs the question, where the hell was Brandon Rush? A healthy DNP for Brandon Rush. Now, the Wolves play Orlando tonight, so it's the tail end of a back-to-back, their first back-to-back of the regular season. So perhaps rest reasons rendered Brandon Rush on the bench, but I alluded to it a little yesterday. Brandon Rush has not performed up to standard as we expected him to so far this season. Another key moment, Wiggins misses 2 free throws at the 3:32 mark of the fourth. It's not the first time he's missed 2 free throws in a clutch situation earlier this season. If you recall, the Wolves lost to, I'm getting them all mixed around at this point. There's so many of them. I mean, 5 is not a lot, but Wiggins missed 2 free throws. I think it was on the road against, it was on the road against Sacramento. So another disappointing result there. The Wolves received solid point guard play from Tyus Jones. Jones played 32 minutes and 20 seconds. He was 4 of 7 from the field. 2 of 4 from three-point range, 2 of 3 from the foul line. Recorded 7 assists, 5 rebounds, a career high, and 5 steals. It's the first time since Kevin Garnett was 19 years old that a Timberwolves player recorded a 4x5 game. 4x5 game being, you know, you record 5 of certain statistics. No surprise there. I don't know why Tom Thibodeau elected to go with Jones in the fourth quarter, although it stands to reason that spacing is a big part of it. Jones is definitely a better three-point shooter than Chris Dunn is at this juncture of both of their careers. The Wolves, when Jones is on the floor this season, which is 85 minutes span over 4 games, are attempting 27 three-pointers and making 10 of them on a per 36 minutes basis. That rate is the highest rate of not only made three-pointers, but attempted three-pointer as well in comparison to every other player. In comparison to Ricky Rubio, the Wolves are shooting just under 18 threes per 36 minutes. And making 7 of them. With Chris Dunn on the floor, it's 19 attempts and 8 makes. So floor spacing is definitely something Tyus brings more so than Ricky Rubio and Chris Dunn. And it showed last night. They allow the Wolves do, that is, Wiggins to be the primary ball handler, with LaVine taking a possession here and there down the stretch in the fourth quarter. And just basically putting Tyus in the corner and making defenders respect his ability to knock down the three-pointer. The Zach LaVine at point guard thing that Thibodeau may or may not have hinted at in the audio that I played on this podcast yesterday didn't come to fruition. There were times, yes, when LaVine brought the ball up the court, but like I said, there are a lot of side pick and roll action that it's not as if LaVine is being asked to cut down the lane, create dribble penetration in isolation situations, and then make the right pass out to the perimeter. It's a lot of pick and roll stuff we're seeing in the Tom Thibodeau offense so far this season. So the lack of execution down the stretch results in Brooklyn, in the last 5 minutes, Brooklyn outscored the Wolves by the by a mark of, where is it? I have it here. I've noted it. I don't care that you know I'm reading. A 15-6 run within the last 5 minutes Brooklyn uses to close the door on the Wolves down the stretch. The Wolves turned it over four times. They shot 2 of 9 from the field. Costly mistakes, costly missed free throws. It's disappointing, but the Wolves have a chance to go out there and try to get a win against Orlando. There's really not much else that can be said. They just need to move on. It's disappointing, but it is what it is. It's still very early in the season, and the start, although disappointing, it's not irredeemable. There are plenty of reasons to believe that the Wolves will improve collectively as the season continues. Rubio is reportedly going to return to practice sometime this week, according to Jerry Zagota of the Star Tribune. From what they see in practice, they'll be able to make a more clear determination of when Rubio might be back, but it's abundantly clear that the Wolves could certainly use him. Whether whether his presence would have helped the Wolves win some of these close games against Denver, against Sacramento, and against Brooklyn is a question that can be discussed and debated. On a previous episode of this podcast, I pointed out what were at the time surprising and alarming on-off splits as they pertain to Ricky Rubio. And at the time, the Wolves were better with Rubio off the court than they were with him on it. Now, because Rubio has been absent and the Wolves have played all of this time without him, that on-off number is now a positive. So when they get Rubio back, I definitely think they will play better. How that will impact Tyus Jones and his place in the rotation remains to be seen. What's clear is that Dunn doesn't shoot the ball well enough and doesn't handle the ball or orchestrate the offense, whatever phrase you want to use. He's not doing enough to communicate to Tom Thibodeau that he belongs in the game at the end of the game when the game is on the line. Now, with the decision to deploy Tyus Jones in the late game situation last night, when Rubio comes back, will Rubio play at the end of fourth quarters? I think it's a question worth asking. If Tibbs likes what he sees out of LaVine and Wiggins and sort of the point guard by committee using Tyus Jones as a floor stretcher, if Tibbs likes that setup enough, perhaps he'll leave Rubio on the bench. I don't know. I don't have those answers. And we won't know until Rubio comes back and the Wolves find themselves in a situation like the one last night. What's clear is that I think the Wolves miss Rubio and are potentially losing games because of his absence. So it's a disappointing game. I probably said that 1-10 or 50 times today, but the Wolves can go out tonight and get a win back against Orlando. So I think that's where I'll wrap it up today. Short episode, back-to-back. We can get into some more substance Thursday, Friday, before the Wolves face the Los Angeles Clippers at home at Target Center this coming Saturday. So, yeah, that'll do it. This has been Zachary Bennett, at Zachary B on Twitter. Be sure to follow Locked On Wolves on Twitter, at Locked On Wolves. Remember, DMs are open. You can DM me for any reason, feedback, et cetera, et cetera. I'll take it. Please send your thoughts my way. We'll recap the game tonight. Wolves taking on the Orlando Magic, beginning at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 Eastern. You can find it on Fox Sports North. The Magic are entertaining. The Island of Misfit Toys, Jeff Green, Evan Fournier, Serge Ibaka, all trying to get into their new situation, get comfortable in their new situation, as is head coach Frank Vogel. So I don't want to say it's a winnable game because I thought the Nets was a surefire, and I thought the Nets matchup was as winnable as they could get, and the Wolves were unable to pull through. So now playing on the second night of a back-to-back, it's going to be tough. Let's see. I have it here. The Wolves were 2-12 on the tail end of back-to-back situations last year, which is not good, but, you know, we'll see. All right, I'm done. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll cue up the outro music. Later.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.